Let's start by tracing the roots of the psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, or PMHNP, role. Dr. Lee, how did this specialization emerge within nursing history?
Great question. The PMHNP role evolved from the foundational work of psychiatric nurses like Hildegard Peplow and June Mello in the mid-20th century. Their pioneering theories shifted nursing from a task-focused job to a therapeutic profession, emphasizing the vital mind-body connection. Over time, as mental health gained recognition as a key healthcare issue, advanced practice roles like the PMHNP arose to address complex psychiatric needs holistically.
So this evolution also reflects broader shifts in our understanding of mental illness, correct? For example, the acceptance of brain-based etiologies and holistic care models?
Absolutely. As science increasingly showed that psychiatric disorders often have neurobiological roots, the PMHNP role expanded. This required not only deep psychiatric knowledge, but also advanced nursing skills to bridge physical and mental health care, ensuring neither aspect was neglected.
That holistic approach seems essential, especially as healthcare systems move toward integrated care. In what ways did the 2008 LACE consensus model further formalize the PMHNP role?
The LACE model standardized advanced practice roles, including PMHNPs, across the United States. It defined educational and certification requirements, ensuring consistency and public trust. Notably, it endorsed lifespan preparation, meaning PMHNPs are trained to provide care from childhood through old age, enhancing the role's versatility and impact.
Transitioning from history, let's unpack the unique competencies that define PMHNP practice. What foundational skills are shared among all nurse practitioners, and how do PMHNPs build upon them?
At their core, all nurse practitioners master scientific foundations, leadership, health policy, ethics, and independent practice. PMHNPs then layer on psychiatric expertise such as differential diagnosis, psychotherapy, and pharmacologic management. This dual focus enables them to address both acute crises and long-term mental health recovery, tailoring interventions for individuals, families, or entire populations.
Can you give an example of how specialized PMHNP competencies manifest in real-world settings, perhaps when treating a complex case?
Certainly. Imagine a patient with bipolar disorder and chronic diabetes. A PMHNP assesses how medications for one condition might exacerbate the other. They craft age-appropriate, evidence-based treatment plans, provide psychoeducation, coordinate with other clinicians, and monitor outcomes. This level of integrated care goes beyond what generalist NPs might provide.
It's impressive how adaptable these practitioners must be. How do competencies adapt as healthcare changes, say, with the rise of telehealth or data-driven care?
PMHNP competencies now include technology and information literacy. For instance, they're trained to deliver telepsychiatry, document electronic health records securely, and use outcome measures to refine care. Continuous competency updates ensure PMHNPs stay effective as new tools and challenges emerge.
Now, let's explore the legal and regulatory dimensions. What are the key differences between licensure, credentialing, and certification for PMHNPs?
Licensure, awarded by state boards, grants legal permission to practice. Credentialing is a broader process, ensuring minimum professional competence, often involving verification of education and training. Certification, typically from the American Nurses Credentialing Center for PMHNPs, confirms mastery in psychiatric nursing and provides title protection. Each layer adds public assurance of safe, high-quality care.
How much does scope of practice vary across states? And what are the implications for PMHNP's day-to-day roles?
Scope of practice can differ dramatically. Some states grant full practice authority, letting PMHNPs diagnose, treat, and prescribe independently, while others require physician collaboration. This creates a patchwork where, for example, a PMHNP in Oregon may practice more autonomously than one in Texas. These variations impact access to care, especially in underserved areas.
Given these complexities, what mechanisms are in place to maintain standardized care and professional accountability?
National standards, such as those from the ANA and NONPF, set baseline expectations. Accreditation agencies like CCNE and ASIN ensure educational quality. Additionally, malpractice insurance and strict documentation protocols protect both patients and practitioners, and ongoing certification demands continued learning and adherence to evolving best practices.
As we move to the ethical and legal landscape, PMHNPs face unique challenges. Could you outline the major ethical principles that guide practice in psychiatric settings?
Certainly. Ethical practice hinges on principles like autonomy, beneficence, non-maleficence, justice, fidelity, and veracity. These guide actions, such as ensuring informed consent, respecting confidentiality, and advocating for the least restrictive treatment environments. For example, PMHNPs must balance protecting the public from harm while safeguarding clients' rights and dignity.
Confidentiality is a cornerstone, but there are exceptions. How does the duty to warn principle, established by Tarasoff v. Regents, affect practice?
The duty to warn obligates PMHNPs to breach confidentiality if a client poses imminent danger to others. If, for instance, a patient expresses a credible threat, the practitioner must notify potential victims or authorities. This principle sometimes clashes with privacy expectations, but is critical for safety.
Legal considerations like informed consent and malpractice also come into play. How do PMHNPs navigate these issues, especially with vulnerable populations?
PMHNPs must ensure clients or their guardians fully understand treatment risks, benefits, and alternatives. Documentation is key. Malpractice insurance offers protection, but only if care remains within the legal scope. For clients deemed incompetent, courts may appoint decision makers, adding another layer of legal oversight.
Thank you for being on the show today. To wrap up, how does the Americans with Disabilities Act influence disclosure and workplace rights for individuals with psychiatric conditions?
The ADA mandates reasonable workplace accommodations and prohibits discrimination. However, disclosure carries risks, potential bias, harassment, or career barriers. On the flip side, it allows employees to access support and accommodations, boosting recovery and job retention. PMHNPs can help clients weigh these complex trade-offs, advocating for both privacy and empowerment. I hope to come back and discuss more topic. Thank you for having me. Until next time.